ABC presents Ray's Alarm with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray.
My, don't these Saturdays roll round quickly, Kitty?
Mm-hmm.
And what a bright, crisp day it is. Just the sort of weather for 18 holes.
18 holes, nothing. This morning you go out there in that garden and get it straightened up.
Kitty, it's so cold in the open air. It's a nasty wind. You can't send me out on a freezing morning like this. And the weather forecast is terrible. Even the forecaster was sneezing. Apart from that, I don't even know where the roller is.
Well, it's under the apple tree where you left it last August at opening time.
But I don't want to go out there. I feel so cut off, so lonely.
Let's face it, Ted, our garden is a disgrace. Ours must be the only one with an Anderson's shelter still stuck in the middle of it.
You belittle me.
No.
You really do.
Bless you.
You've forgotten how hard I worked on the outside paintwork.
No, I haven't, Ted. You burnt all the old paint off very successfully.
Well, thank you. At least I can do something then.
Yes.
And in the spring when I start to paint it, you won't know the place. You've got to understand, Kitty, that marriage, you know, is a partnership.
Yeah?
It's not all beer and Skittles.
No, Ted. But let's hope you'll get the Skittles before long, huh? Oh, that's the post. I'll get it, darling.
Yes. I'll draw the curtains while she's gone. She might forget about the garden.
Oh, three or four letters this morning, Ted.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Let me see. Get a load of this, Kitty. It's from the finance company.
Uh-oh.
They don't waste much time, do they?
No.
And I'm only two installments behind on your clothes horse. You know, I've got a good mind to send it straight back. Those canvas hinges were frayed when it arrived.
Ted, you've really got no cause for complaint. You were lucky to get to frayed terms. But let's face it, it was reconditioned. Now, what does this one say?
Yeah, what does it say?
Oh, good.
Mm.
This is a reply from the insurance company about our joint policy, darling.
Yeah.
They say, we regret that we cannot consider your application as upon scrutiny your marriage certificate was proved to be invalid.
Well, that settles that. I think I'll have another cup of tea while it's hot.
All right.
Kitty.
Huh?
Kitty, let me look at that letter. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Kitty.
Oh, Kitty.
What's happened? What is it, darling?
Kitty, don't you realize what this means?
Huh?
We're not legally married.
We're not what?
No.
Hey, that can't be true. There has to be a mistake. There's got to be.
No. It's here in black and white. It must be true.
Then, Ted Ray, be gentleman enough to turn your back. I'm in my dressing gown.
Well, I'm sorry, mister, whoever you're...
Oh.
I'm sorry. What am I talking about? What are you... Kitty, this is... I don't know what to say.
Oh.
I'm all alone.
Yes.
Suddenly, I haven't got a little wifey.
Oh.
This is terrible. If only we'd found out before.
What difference would that have made?
Well, I needn't have ordered that paint for next spring.
Yes. Now, wait a minute. How can you possibly talk like that at a time like this? Just think of the position we're in. What's going to happen when the neighbors find out?
Well, we just have to tell them we're good friends. Very good friends.
Yes. But who's going to believe that? They must have heard us rowing, Ted.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done, darling, and done fast.
Yeah.
This whole business has got to be straightened out.
Oh, don't you worry, darling.
Mm.
I won't let you down.
Mm.
Hubby, well, that is whoever I am.
Yeah.
After all, what is my position now?
Oh.
No ties, free to come and go as I like? Only one to pay for at the pictures?
Now, Ted, you listen to me. Don't you get any ideas, my weird one. I'm going to marry you if it's the last thing I ever do. Now what am I saying?
Let's see, we've got to spit up our stuff, haven't we?
Yeah.
I'll take the number 5 iron, the putter and the mashie.
And, Ted Ray, you are not going to play golf.
Who do you think you're talking to, madam? I'll see you around.
Oh.
Bachelor Ray am I. I live my life. Away I go. Good morning, Gloria, my dearest. Allow me.
Mr. Ray, and you, a married man, too.
Well, haven't you heard? I'm back in circulation. Let's have another plonker.
Mr. Ray, please, but simply please, let me go before we do something we shall never regret.
Oh, you underestimate me, Gloria. You see, I didn't mean to sweep you off your feet, my dear. I've got all the time in the world now.
Mr. Ray!
Oh, there's no time like the present, dear. You'll find things will be different from now on around here. The broom cupboard and the filing room and the alleyways in between. I will knock all your honorables into a cocked tiara.
I simply don't understand what's come over you, Mr. Ray.
Oh, please, must we have this, Mr. Ray? Call me Edward. That's my maiden name. Come, sit on my lap and let's browse through the petting cache.
Ray, step into my office. Good heavens above, what the dickens do you think you're doing, Ray? This is my general office, not the back row of the Regal. Come now, step into my office.
Don't go away, Gloria. Cuddles will be back. Coming, Mr. Trumbull.
Ray. Now, may I be permitted an explanation for your outrageous conduct? May I remind you that you are a married man?
Not anymore. Haven't you heard, sir? My pardon came through the post this morning.
What are you blathering about, Ray? We've been married for years. We're both in the same cart. Why is it that cart springs to my mind whenever I think of my Mariah?
You see, the position is, Mr. Trumbull, there's a technical mistake on our marriage certificate. Before I put it right, in my own good time, I thought it was time I had a good time.
Oh, congratulations, Ray.
Thank you.
You mean you found a loophole? Now, tell Bossy how he can do it. We must talk about a nice little rise as well, Ray.
Yes.
Look, can you please, can you spot a flaw in my certificate? I always carry it with me as a constant reminder of my folly.
Sir, do you really? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Trumbull. Your sentence has nothing to do with me, sir.
Oh.
You must solve your own problems. Mind you, I know how you feel. Oh, yes, I quite understand. Just think, if you were in my position and could go home tonight, lock your own front door and put the bat out.
Oh.
How about that, sir?
I can see it all, Ray. Oh, my home, free from gin bottles. Oh. But there we are, Ray. It's no good daydreaming. Now you must get back to your desk. And remember, no hanky-panky with Miss Jackson.
All right, sir. Not a single hanky. Maybe a little panky. Well, you know.
I do not know, Ray. And kindly stop inferring that I've got the 37-year itch.
Oh, I must get down to some serious work. I'm sure I have an old diary in my desk. Happy days. This is it. Cynthia. Possible. Mabel. I wonder why I crossed her out. But I'll get round to them all in time. Yoo-hoo, Kitty. Kitty. Oh, there you are, dear.
All right, Ted. Now, let's face it, darling. We can't stay under the same roof until this business is sorted out. Hey, what a good job. The house is in my name, huh?
Crafty. That's what she is, so crafty. Perhaps you would consider having me as a lodger?
Well, no. No, I thought about that, Ted, then I turned it down. I'm not too keen on some of your habits.
Thank you, madam. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Just for that, I will go. Out into the night, alone in the darkened streets, to merge into the shadows, searching for some welcoming light.
Ted, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't care. That was a dramatic bit, and I rather enjoyed it.
Yes.
Goodbye, dear. Here I go, out into the night.
Bye-bye, sweet.
So this is it. Let me take one last look at 49 Endersby Crescent. When I think of the happy times we had there, and it's not easy. Just a minute. The front door's opened. There's my Kitty on the step, the poor kid. She's too overcome to speak. She's writing a note on a piece of paper. Darling! What has my poor little broken-hearted spinster written? Oh, no. Dear milkman, please leave only half a pint. Women! I can't tramp the streets much longer with these heavy suitcases. I miss my Kitty. She used to carry them. I'll try this place. It's my last hope.
to the youth hostel.
Well, by the look of it, anybody's welcome to it. Herbert Toyle, what are you doing in a youth hostel?
I lied about my age. Well, come in, and please wipe your feet. I don't want you treading muck all over the newspapers.
Well, it's like this, Herbert. It's rather a long story, but I want a room for a few nights.
I think we can arrange that.
Good.
Yes, you can have number 3. It should last a few nights. Well, yeah, just pop your moniker on this register.
Call that a register? Look at it. It's an exercise book full of homework.
Well, this is a youth hostel, you know. Now, sir.
Yes?
About procedure.
Well?
You get a shake at 2, a shake at 4, and another shake at 6.
What are you talking about, Toyle? Who wants to shake 3 times during the middle of the night?
No one. But can we help it if we got railway lines at the bottom of the garden?
That sounds great.
Yes, but I think you're going to enjoy yourself here, Mr. Ray. Yes. By the way,
yes?
Your room must be vacated by 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's good news, isn't it? I like the way you just throw these little tidbits in, you know. Yeah, anyway, what have I got to get out of my room for by 7 o'clock? Or don't you want me to see it in daylight, then? Is that the idea?
Partly, that, yes.
Yes.
But mainly, sir.
Yes.
Because we use your room for the woodwork class.
Well, I must remember not to sleep like a log. I might wake up as a bookcase.
You're being rather silly again.
Got a laugh?
Well, that's just beside the point. Come here, look.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, John.
Yes, Mr. Toyle.
My darling Rosalie.
Yes.
She usually attends the woodwork classes.
Your Rosalie.
Yes.
Yes, I can imagine that. I suppose the woodworkers use her legs as a model for twisted candlesticks. You like that?
Yes. My Rosalie. Highly humorous. The woodworkers use her legs. My Rosalie as a model for twisted candles. You're very rude, ain't you?
Well, anyway. Anyway, Herbert, I've had a very tiring day. I think I'll go to bed.
Well, it won't be as easy as you might think on the show. No, you see, we haven't actually got a bed up there.
No bed?
No.
But oh?
No, they tell me that the workbench can be quite comfortable.
Isn't it marvelous?
Gosh.
Another little tidbit you've thrown in for me. Listen, Toyle, I'm no Indian fake here, you know. How am I going to get a good night's rest on a carpenter's bench?
Well,
yeah.
There's a neck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Put me in the picture.
Look,
yes.
They tell me if you put both your feet in the vise and your head in the lathe, you'll be quite confident.
In the meantime, good night, Herbert. And when I think of my little kitty tucked up in a nice warm bed, I... I wasn't ready for that. What was it? It sounded like the Brighton Bell full of tired businessmen. What a mess I'm in. Oh, no. What have I put my foot in? What a stupid place to leave a glue pot.
Well, Mr. Butterfield, it's very nice of you to call, and thank you for the flowers.
Not at all.
I don't know how you found out that Ted and I are... Well, we're sort of...
Yes.
Well, that is, that mm-hmm. we might be...
Yes. As Basil Nares. Yes. Basil keeps his little nerbies to the grandies, right? May I sit next to you?
Yes.
What? I look here. Mm-hmm. Basil has your favorite jockeys.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah. Bangers, Basil's softy scent.
Oh.
Still, we'll soon get to know each other's likes and dislikes. What?
We will?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Butterfield, this is all so sudden. I really feel I should ask my husband first. I mean, that is... Well, don't you see, I'm not really sure whether I'm married or happy.
Let Basil make you happy.
Yeah.
Yes. Let him start right now.
Yes.
Yes, edge up on the settees. That's right. Squeezy pandies. Turn out the lighties.
Now, just wait a minute.
I do.
Yes. Mr. Butterfield, I appreciate your feelings, you know, but after all, I...
What? What? Ah. You're trying to tell me there's someone else.
Well, yes, in a way, there is. It's only Ted, but I suppose he is someone.
Oh, Mrs. Ray, you can't keep Basil at arm's length any longer.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me clasp you to my drip dry.
Oh. Now, Basil, Miss Butterfield, would you hold on a minute, please? This has got to stop. After all, we've got to be adult about it.
That's what Basil wants to be. Now, come on. Come along now. Snuggy Wuggies with Basil. Come along now. Looky, looky. I'm after you. Here comes Basil, the bogeyman.
Here we are, Gloria. Enders be present. I'll just pop in and pick up a few things.
Oh, all right, Mr. Ray, but I really don't think I should come with you. After all, I am going on to a party, and I'm sure Mrs. Ray wouldn't want to see me while she's all alone and unhappy in the house.
Oh, that's all right, Gloria, darling. You know, she's got to understand sometime about us.
But there's nothing, but simply nothing about us. Well, I'm practically engaged to the Honorable Timothy.
Well, you dial Tim and tell him you're not coming. Now, here we are. After you, Gloria.
I know you are. So, after you.
There's a light on in the lounge, eh? How about that? A light on in the lounge. I might have known. As soon as my back's turned, she puts bulbs in. I'll go in.
Basil nearly had you then.
Yes, Basil, please, will you stop it at once?
By all means, Basil, stop it at once.
Yes, Ted.
Yeah, this is where Basil makes runnies for back fences.
You'd better, too. I'll give you just 5 seconds to get out of my house. Now, Kitty, mm-hmm. I demand an explanation. There are one or two questions to be answered.
You're perfectly right, Ted. And what are you doing with Miss Jackson?
If you don't mind, I'll have my questions answered first. You see, I'm out of the way for 24 hours, and what do I find? You carrying on a sordid intrigue.
With Basil?
You mean there's more?
Well, of course not. Well, there just might be. After all, you're not the only pebble on the beach, Ted. Why shouldn't I have a little fun? I mean, I'm single and over 21.
Stop talking like this, dear. Especially in front of Gloria.
Huh?
Please don't jump to any conclusions. Honestly, there's a perfectly simple explanation of all this.
Of course there is.
You keep out of this, my pocket Casanova. I'll deal with you later. Now, if you will kindly leave.
Yes, well, I think I'd better be running.
That's your best bet, dearie, and keep going.
Well, see you in the office tomorrow, Mr. Ray.
Yeah.
Now, you listen to me, Ted Ray.
Now, listen to me, Kitty. Kitty, what are we quarreling for, darling? We've got to look at this thing logically, you know.
Yes.
I mean, what would your mother think?
Well, naturally, I had to let Mother know, and she wired by return what she thinks.
You see? She's upset about it. She has every right to be.
Well, her telegram didn't read quite like that. Mind you, all she said was, congratulations, I've regained a daughter and lost an idiot.
Thank you for nothing. And if you want me...
Yes?
I'll be back at the youth hostel.
Yes.
Let her think that one over. Anyway, he's got one of us worried.
Morning, Ray.
You're
early.
Yeah.
Why are you early, Ray?
Because sleeping on a carpenter's bench is not one of my vices. Oh, and that 4 o'clock express brought a row of chisels down on me. But I did think to move the glue pot. I was all right there.
Well, I won't delve further into this conversation. The strain might just take me over the borderline. But to get back to something approaching normality, the Inland Revenue people would like to see you. So if you go down there now, you can work later tonight to make up for it.
Oh, I'm having a good time, aren't I? And I'm not even safe in the local, Mr. Trumbull. Old Mother Harris keeps buying me crisps and whistling the wedding march. And that's not easy for her with no teeth.
I don't wish to hear about your four ale bar romances.
Romances? With old Mother Harris? You know, her first husband left her while he was carrying her across the threshold. Yes, he got a good look at her under the porch light.
I do wish you wouldn't keep giving me ideas that I could have used 25 years ago.
Sorry, sir.
In the meantime, you'd better be getting along to the income tax people, Ray.
Ah, this must be the income tax building. Must be. They must be in a vicious mood inside there today. Oh, dear, it's just terrifying in this place. I feel weak at the knees already. And what a welcome they give you with that thing in the corner. It looks like a badly stuffed vulture.
Do you mind? My name? My name is Sidney Mincing. And I happen to be the inspector of this you make it, we take it, and what are you trying to fiddle now in for? Well, what can we do for you, then?
Well, you sent for me, Mincing, for a cosy little chat. Why don't you get my file?
You won't need a file until we get you inside.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Here we are.
Yes.
Oh. Very, very interesting reading, this is. Oh, dear. Oh, very naughty, that.
Wait till you get to the pictures. But, Mincing, Mincing, you mustn't be hard on me, please. You see, I've really done nothing wrong, and I can't afford to pay any more with a wife to support.
We come to the crux of the matter, don't we?
Yes.
For the last 10 years, you've been masquerading as a married man. In view of this, we find there is a little matter of back tax. So we got you round here to make hay while the ray whines.
You're gloating in triplicate, aren't you? Talk about a dribble servant. Yes. Anyway, I can't afford to pay any back tax. It's this kind of thing that drives people out of the country.
Yes, so I believe. But in your case... Yes, we have no Bahamas. Now, come here.
You're being very cruel, you know.
Thanks. To get back to this lorry that you owe us.
Yes.
The sum is £45.10. Perhaps you will send this remittance to our collector of taxes.
Oh, that's easy, Mincing. That's fine. I'll send the remittance off today with a little note, money to follow. All right?
Good. Thank you. Oh, I do believe you're going to make a fight of it. Oh,
yes.
Good. Yes, mind you, we do hear of some very, very interesting cases connected with income tax.
No.
Yes, we do.
Really?
I remember some years back in that. There was a special case in America.
Mincing, we're off, aren't we?
Yeah.
Maybe a long trip, but you'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll make it.
Yeah.
I know.
You see, this American couple...
Yes.
Lincoln was the name.
That's the edge.
Yeah. Tried to claim a child allowance for their son, you see.
Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln did.
Yeah.
Kind of a Lincoln handicap.
Yes.
But there must have been a snag, Mincing.
Well, naturally there was. Otherwise, I wouldn't be taking the trouble to tell you.
Please. No, that's right, yes.
Now, anyway,
yes.
You see, sir, they produced their son at an American tax office.
I see.
Then, all of a sudden, one of the more astute officials noticed something about the son.
What was that, Mincing? He said with a smile.
It had a black beard.
But he certainly wasn't a young shaver.
Sidney's talking, please.
I'm sorry, Sidney.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, they got their claim, all right?
Now, look, Mincing, what are you giving me? As I see it, a Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln walked into an American tax office and claimed some lolly for a kid, but the son has got a black beard.
Okay.
How could they get around that?
Perfectly obvious. In this instance... Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln.
Mincing. Mincing. Have you no shame?
Please. I must carry on, yes. Regardless. You see, although it could never happen again,
yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln, it created a president. Good morning.
I hope you didn't mind my phoning you, Mr. Trumbull, but I thought I'd let you know that I've cleared the whole business up.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that, my dear. And I've no doubt that Ray will be too. He's been acting a little foolishly, Robert. There is no harm in the fellow.
Oh, of course I know that, Mr. Trumbull. I've known it all along. But I thought a little shock treatment after 10 years might do him some good. As a matter of fact, he's been more attentive these last few days than he was when we were courting. Uh-oh, I think I can hear him coming in, so I'll have to go now. Well, bye, Mr. Trumbull.
Goodbye, my dear.
Hello, darling. Your little swain is here.
Now, you can talk plainer than that. Oh. Ted, how lovely. 4 pounds of out-of-season strawberries. I'll put them with the asparagus tips in the fridge that you bought me.
Yes, I've rather done my nuts, haven't I?
Yes.
But, Kitty, yes. This is the last of the presents.
Oh.
I'm broke. Let's face it, darling, I'm broke.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, I must confess I need you, darling.
Uh-oh.
We've got to sort this thing out here and now, and it has nothing to do with my back income tax.
Well, of course not, Ted. Anyway, I fixed everything a week ago. There was nothing wrong with our marriage certificate.
There wasn't, dear?
Why, no, darling, it was just a technical point. You hadn't paid for it.
And you've known about this for a week?
Uh-huh.
How could you do this to your loving hubby?
It was easy.
Well, what does it matter now? We're back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed, really.
No.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Do you know what I've a good mind to do, Kitty? Just to celebrate?
What, darling?
Play a fast 18 holes.
18 holes, nothing. After the past week, that garden's looking worse than ever.
I might have known it would be. Well, folks, this is where you came in. And do I have to tell you? I've done it again.
That was Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgman.